Our text today comes from the book of Hosea, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the more they turned away from me. They kept sacrificing to Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down and I fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king, because they have refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities, and it consumes their oracle priest, and it devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they call, but he does not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Adonai? How can I treat you like Zerubbabel? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They shall go after the Lord who roars like a lion. When he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria. And I will return them to their homes, says the Lord. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. I took a class last semester on youth and young adult ministry, and the professor told us of a time he took a group of high schoolers to New York City. And he told them when they got into the city that they should be on the lookout for God. And the week went by, and they served in soup kitchens, and they toured the city, and they climbed the Statue of Liberty. And on the last day in the city, everyone was really tired, especially the leaders. And everyone was standing on a corner waiting for a light to change. And on the opposite side of the corner were some men doing mandated community service. They were wearing bright orange vests, and they were there with a police officer. And on that same side of the corner was an older woman trying to cross the street. And she waited, and she was too nervous to go, and finally one of the men on parole came up to her and gently took her arm. And he led her across 6 or 8 lines of traffic. And then he waited, and they said goodbye, and then he walked back and went back to cleaning up garbage. And one of the students on this trip started to nudge my professor, you know, right in the ribs. And he goes, did you see that? My professor, he said, yes, yeah, I saw that. And he said, God was right in there. My professor said, yes, God was right there with them. Often God is doing things among us that we don't take time to notice. Our text today talks about God being in our midst, God being larger than our preconceived notions. In our text, God says, I taught them to walk, but they didn't see me. Perhaps they didn't expect God to be in their midst, but God often surprises us. When I looked at the lectionary choices for this week, I, for one, never imagined I would preach on Hosea. When I saw that Hosea was one of the choices, I thought back to my Old Testament class and said, oh, isn't that the book where God tells the prophet to take a wife from whoredom? I already spoke on Amos and exile, and no way am I going to preach on another angry minor prophet. I mean, really, Hosea's even in the lectionary? But then I opened up the book of Hosea and I turned to chapter 11 and I heard it. And as you heard, it is a beautiful love poem from God to Israel. A love poem even though Israel's been unfaithful. I checked to make sure that I was actually in the book of Hosea. I thought maybe I had slipped into Psalms or Isaiah, but there it was. Hosea was at the top of the page. God was speaking to me in a place where I didn't expect to encounter God. The reason I didn't expect such a beautiful love poem is even though Hosea is known as the prophet of love, and even though God is gracious and forgiving, in the beginning of the book of Hosea, God tells Hosea to take a wife from whoredom and name their children names that mean, I will no longer have pity on the house of Israel or forgive them, and God will punish the house, and God will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In Hosea, there's this very intense analogy between God and Hosea, and Hosea's unfaithful wife and Israel. In our text, God is disappointed in Israel for being unfaithful. And our text was written shortly before the people were exiled because they were unfaithful. But our passage is hopeful. The Oxford Bible Commentary says that our passage today is one of the high points of the Old Testament, depicting God's love in face of Israel's continued ingratitude. And God has every right to be angry with Israel because of their ingratitude. And God has every right to be angry with us today because of our idolatry and ingratitude. But God doesn't respond with anger and wrath as we would expect. God responds with mercy. God is an incredible God who's not bound by our little narrow understanding of what justice is. We see this in both the Old and New Testament. In both testaments, God breaks down the people's preconceived notions of who God is. If God was only the little narrow God that we imagine, Jesus Christ never would have died for us on the cross. Jesus was not the type of Messiah that the people expected, which is why multiple times Jesus' disciples told him to be quiet. Don't speak of death. Don't stir up trouble. They thought they were giving Jesus sound advice, but their advice was all about how he should fit into their little expectations. And Jesus, if Jesus had listened to them, he never would have gone to the cross, because that was outside of their expectations, outside of what they conceived as possible for God. Jesus' disciples didn't expect to find the all-powerful God in their midst, just like Hosea's audience. And even though the people didn't see what God was doing, and even though they turned to idolatry, God doesn't respond with anger, but God does mourn. God is mourning because God stands amongst the people, and the more God calls out to them, the more they turn away. Instead of seeing God, they worship idols, offering incense, yet God remains faithful. They had idols then, and we have idols today. We even have a very popular TV show called American Idol, where people try to become idols. We also worship other modern idols, like money, or drugs, or fame, or politics, or baseball, or entertainment, or technology, or celebrity. Yet God's heart still recoils for us. God's compassion still grows warm and tender. God delivered this ode to Israel, and God delivers it to us today. It was I who taught you to walk. I took you up in my arms, but you did not know that I healed you. I led you with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I am to you like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bend down and I feed you. God's pain and disappointment when we turn away is a testament of God's love because it shows us how invested God is in us. That's the language and the tone of our text today. God is disappointed because God is so involved. God doesn't want us to worship things that can't save us. God doesn't want the swords to rage in our cities. God doesn't want us devoured because of schemes. God was invested in them, and God is invested in us, which is why God doesn't throw in the towel like we would expect, which is why God says, "How can I give you up?" To be fair, maybe the people of Israel expected God to come as a burning bush. Maybe they expected God to come in a big thunderstorm, or maybe they expected God to come on a chariot of fire. And those are reasonable expectations, I suppose. After all, God is all-powerful. God could come that way, but God often chooses to come in everyday moments. God comes in a soft whisper. God gives us gentle hands to prepare food. God came as a humble carpenter. God is present in the smile of a stranger. On Tuesday morning, I was working on this sermon and trying to come up with some really great examples on how I was going to enlighten us all on how God is with us in the unexpected. And I stopped for a moment to run down to Big Apple grocery store right on Polk to get a Coca-Cola. And outside was a man asking for money, and I stopped to tell him about Welcome Ministries because it was Tuesday morning, and I said that if he came by the church at 2, there would be a hot meal and there would be people there to talk with him. And he said, "Oh, I'll be right there. I'll be there." And I started to turn to go into the store, and he looked at me, and he made eye contact, and he said, "I love you, Pastor." It was honest. His comment didn't make me feel uncomfortable. It was simple and sincere. And I said something like, "Oh, I'll see you at 2. I wish I had come up with something better to say. God was with us in that moment. Here I was writing a sermon thinking I knew a bit more about God, thinking I knew how to tell people to find God in the unexpected, thinking I have God a little more figured out, and I go to get a soda, not expecting anything, not expecting to meet God on Polk Street, but I was blown away by a stranger's kindness, by a moment that God created for me in this gentleman. God is in our midst, even on Polk Street. There are ramifications to our sin. We live in a broken world. And Israel had to go into exile. But God didn't abandon us, and God didn't abandon the Israelites. God stays with us no matter where we go. Some people think that God is different from the Old Testament to the New Testament. That God in the Old Testament is full of anger and wrath, and in the New Testament we have Jesus who speaks of love and compassion. But in this passage in Hosea, we see that God is full of love and mercy, which is the same behavior we see in Christ. And in our love poem from God in Hosea, God calls Israel son. God has already laid the foundation for the parent-child roles, the same roles we honor whenever we say, "Our Father who art in heaven." This week, I had the privilege to attend Wednesday's Bible study, and we spent some time looking at the Hosea text, and we talked a lot about God as parent. One member of the church said that our text today reminded them of when their child wandered off in a large department store. And when they finally found the child, they explained why they were so upset. They said, "I am so disappointed because you scared me and I love you so much." Another member of our church said that the passage where God talks about roaring like a lion reminded him of his mom. He said that the part where they said, "They shall go after the God who roars like a lion. When he roars, his children come trembling from the west." That reminded him of his when his mom used to stand on the back porch and yell his name so he would know it was time to come home. God is calling out to us in unexpected ways. God is standing in our midst today, calling us home. And God isn't in our midst only during good times. God is in our midst all the time. Once when I was in college, I studied abroad in London, and we took a trip to Stratford-upon-Avon to see where Shakespeare was from, and we went to a play. And in the middle of the second act, a man a few rows over from me had a heart attack. And I was a lifeguard at the time, and I got to him quickly, and there was a doctor watching the play. And we started CPR, and we called the British equivalent of 911. But the man passed away. But God was there in our midst. And I don't know how to describe that moment other than to say I know that God gave this man a peaceful death. And I could feel God with us in the room as we tried to revive that man. God surprised me that day. Even in that day of pain and trouble, God was present. This week, when we see the brokenness of the world, and when we get overwhelmed and feel hopeless, when we think that nothing can be fixed, we need to remember that God is already here in our midst. We need to start looking for miracles and God in our midst, even if they're not in the form of a burning bush. God is in the midst of the food pantries in San Francisco. God is with the felons in prison. God is in the midst of those at the hospital. God is in the midst of the crowds at Fisherman's Wharf and the shoppers at the farmer's market on the ferry building. God walked among the people of the Middle East 2,000 years ago, and God walks among us today. God is inside and outside this beautiful sanctuary. Amen.